This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Imagine you and a few of your friends are locked in a room and the only way out is to solve puzzles and find clues that will lead to your escape. Tired of video and computer games, people are discovering real escape room adventures for entertainment. And here to discuss escape rooms are Dr. Margie Kerr, a sociologist at the University of Pittsburgh and Chatham University who studies the science of fear, J.W. Wolterman, owner of Cincinnati Escape Room, and Jerry Weber, owner of The Web Extreme Entertainment, which features a trapped in a room with a zombie adventure. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Margie, J.W., and Jerry, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerry, can you kind of give us an idea? What exactly is an escape room?
Well, an escape room is just what it says. It's a room where you'll take a group of people in, and inside the room is a series of puzzles that have to be figured out, and typically in some kind of a sequential fashion, in order to find a way to find a key to quote-unquote get out of the room.
So the main ingredient of this is puzzles and clues then, but these can take on many different forms, right?
Absolutely, and that is one of the keys to the rooms to make them exciting and interesting, is to have a different type of puzzles all over around the room.
J.W., what are some of the other variations of escape rooms that you might find out there?
Oh, there's lots of variations. Like, for instance, at the Cincinnati Escape Room, we don't actually lock you in the room, because a lot of people have containment issues and claustrophobia. And they're like, I don't want to be.
We're just being melodramatic.
Yeah, I don't want to be locked in a room with a group of people I don't know. And so the way that ours works, for instance, is that you and your group would go in, and there's some secret inside the room that you have to uncover. There's some treasure you have to find. You got to grab it and solve all the puzzles, the codes, the ciphers, discover the secret passageways, and when you find it, get out of the room. And you only have 60 minutes to do it. Escape rooms are extremely challenging. This is one thing that surprises a lot of people. Like, for instance, in our corporate espionage room, we're looking at about a 30% success rate. So 70% of the groups do not get out in 60 minutes.
What's the success rate like for the zombie room?
Oh, it's much better. It's 35%.
Okay. Still not a whole lot better.
No.
Now, J.W., how long has the idea been around for escape rooms? Where did that come from?
You know, escape rooms, from what I understand, started in Asia, and then they kind of spread over to Europe, and then they came to America probably, what do you think, maybe about 2 years ago I started hearing about them.
In the United States, yeah.
In the U.S., yeah, yeah. And they're very different. Like, for instance, I've heard in Asia, in some of the escape rooms, one of the first things they'll do in the escape rooms is they'll chain you to the wall.
Oh, my God.
And the first puzzle is trying to get away from the wall. Now, obviously, that would not fly in the United States.
No, we don't chain any people. We just chain the zombie to the wall.
And we want to hear more about the zombie room. But Margie, what do you think is the appeal of this? I mean, typically, you look at haunted houses and scary movies, and you study the sociology and psychology of fear. So what do you think makes escape rooms so appealing?
Well, I think they have a lot in common with haunted houses and roller coasters and all the different types of thrilling activities. They really get our arousal response going. So we've got the adrenaline pumping. And I think that the challenge, but also really the neat thing about escape rooms, is that you have to stay cognitively engaged the entire time to be able to solve the puzzle. And that's really hard, because usually when we're, you know, very anxious and we've got that high state of anticipation, we don't really think very well. We don't, process information as rationally and as logically. So these rooms really are pushing people to stay engaged and keep that link between their thinking brain and their lizard brain, so that they can have the right level of stress to get them to the next part. So I think that they're very cool. They also, though, of course, have the opportunity to be really frustrating. I know for people like me, you know, if I am scared and trying to solve a math problem, that's going to be really hard. But of course, the benefit is also going to be twice as good at the other side.
Margie, I would think, though, that part of this is that you can fail, and you can fail in a safe environment. So that's probably part of the fun of it. That's probably why people don't get too frustrated with the fact that only about a third of people successfully navigate these things.
Oh, absolutely. There was just a recent study by Catherine Hartley. She looked at the difference between people doing tasks in an escapable environment and a non-escapable environment. And simply completing tasks when we are challenged, but we know that we can eventually escape, we develop a real sense of confidence. It makes us feel kind of proud of ourselves that we chose to stay. You know, when you're in an environment where you absolutely cannot leave, it's a different story. But for escape rooms, there's always that knowledge that you're in a safe environment, you're with your friends, and you're challenging yourself, and, you know, you're going to come out feeling confident. Even if you don't make it all the way through, you still gave it your best effort.
Jerry, how much are these catching on?
Well, it seems to be catching on very, very quickly. Actually, if you take a look just at Cincinnati, I believe we were the first room to open up in March. And I now understand there's going to be a fourth ready to open in the next month or so.
And tell us about the zombie room at the Web. I have to hear about this. How does that work? It sounds like it's lots of scary fun.
Yes. Well, this was developed by a company called Room Escape Adventures out of Columbus. And they started putting rooms in about a year or so ago. And they now have, I think, 15 escape rooms around the United States and a couple overseas. And probably the biggest twist on this is the fact that, yes, there is a zombie in the room. And the question we always get is it a real zombie?
Is it a real zombie?
Yes. And the answer is, well, it's as real as a zombie can be. But no, do not shoot his head off to try and keep him from trapping you. But yes, the zombie is there, and he's chained up to a wall.
Okay.
And at the beginning, it's a one-hour adventure. I think
your customers are not chained to the wall. We want to make that clear, right?
Correct.
Just saying, okay.
Correct. Only if they're really bad.
Okay. But the zombie's chained to a wall.
He's chained to a wall, and at the beginning of the hour, his chain is very, very short. And every 5 minutes, a buzzer goes off, and he gets another foot of chain. So the room's only 17 foot by 17 foot, and if you do the math, you can figure out towards the end of the hour, the zombie can roam most of the room. And if the zombie, quote-unquote, bites you, you have to go stand in a corner. You can still talk with people, but you can't explore the room anymore.
Now, how many people play this at a time?
In our room, it's up to 12.
Okay. Are there recommended ages for playing this?
Yeah, I mean, this is, in our case, it's typically recommended more for adults. We do allow up to, I believe, the minimum age is 12 years old, and you have to have an adult with you if you're under the age of 16.
Now, how many people so far have played this escape room?
That's a good question. I haven't actually added the numbers up, but I'm going to say we're probably doing about 60, 70 a week, and we've been open for 3 months, so do the math.
Yeah, so quite a few people. How are they reacting to it?
Oh, people absolutely love it. It's great to watch them when they come out of the room because, you know, whether they've made it or not, they have a big smile on their face.
Now, Margie, a zombie sounds like it fits the bill exactly for playing off people's love of a good scare.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely raises the anxiety level to a higher point. And, you know, we do know that people can concentrate at that right level of arousal. Our concentration improves and our thinking can become more clear. So it's really, you know, finding that sweet spot where people don't get too scared, but they're just scared enough. And that's also going to aid in, you know, working together. And I hear that these are really amazing team building experiences because when people are scared and they're together, they're going to feel closer to their friends. And I can see how that would result in just really good team building work. On the other hand, though, if you end up getting into an argument with any of your friends while you're in there, you could leave with a bit of a bad memory of that person.
JW and Jerry, do you find that this is good for corporate team building?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, escape rooms are extremely popular with corporate team building because you have to work as a team. You sink or swim together. You're on the same team as soon as you walk in, and you're working together to uncover these puzzles and figure out how to get out of the room.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And probably at this point, about a third of our adventures are for corporate groups.
Now, JW, tell us about the experiences that you offer at Cincinnati Escape Room. You've got something that's it's corporate espionage themed room, and then a Sherlock Holmes themed room.
Exactly. We have two rooms there, and ours is a little bit different in the fact that we put a maximum of 7 people in the room, and our rooms are actually a series of rooms. So each escape room is about 1,000 square feet. So when you're put into the room, for instance, with corporate espionage, I'm a screenwriter and I also design games. So for me, this was kind of a beautiful combination of the two. And so what I did was I designed corporate espionage and I designed it with the same structure as a screenplay. So I gave it a 3-act structure. And specifically, I looked at James Bond films. You know, with James Bond films, the first thing that happens is this huge, exciting stunt, right? And so what we did with corporate espionage is the first thing that comes in is something that's a very visceral activity. And one player is going to have to do something that perhaps is a little bit out of their comfort zone to let them know, you know what, this is not real life. This is an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there recommended ages for your rooms? Or
yeah, we recommend ages 14 and up.
Okay. Now, how's the Sherlock Holmes escape room work?
The Sherlock Holmes escape room is really fun. I co-designed that with a screenwriter and a puzzle maker out of Los Angeles named Dan Wilson. So with the Sherlock Holmes 221B Baker Street, a murder has happened, and you have to help Sherlock solve this murder. So throughout the room, you have to solve the location, the murder weapon, so on and so forth, until eventually it culminates in actually finding the killer.
Margie, corporate spying in Sherlock Holmes. Now, not quite as scary as the zombie, but it still has an appeal, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, looking at it from an evolutionary perspective, we really did evolve to do better when we work together. And that's what these activities are doing, by adding that little bit of stress and competition, too. So even though you may be working towards the same goal, you're going to feel that stress to perform at your best. And it really does bring out a little bit of competition, but then also this desire to eventually work together. And so we really, as a species, evolved to function at our best in these kinds of group environments where there's a little bit of stress, and we are forced, essentially, you know, to focus on this collective goal. So in that way, it really does, you know, help us bond, because at the end of the day, yes, we may be competing, but all of our lives are, you know, on the line, so to speak.
On that same note, as far as competition goes, some people show up at escape rooms and they're really excited. Mm-hmm. And at the Cincinnati Escape Room, we keep track of their times. And so we have world records. So some people have gone through, like, for instance, corporate espionage, I think in 42 minutes and 35 seconds or something like that. And so some people show up and the competition is, can I beat the best record that's out there? Can we work as a team and prove ourselves?
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation about escape rooms and to tell us if you've ever had an experience with an escape room. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And JW, how many people have tried your escape room so far? You have any idea?
We've been open 3 weeks, and I think we're getting about the same people. We're getting about 40, 50 a week so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the reaction to it?
You know what? It's such a new thing, and it's so surprising to people. We have so many people, and Jerry, maybe you do too, who don't really know what it is until they actually get there. And these are brave people signing up to do something that they're not really sure what it is. And they show up, and when they come out of the room, you can see that they're excited, that their face is flushed. You know, they've done something that they've never done before. And it's really been fun to watch them, because we watch our game leaders actually watch the players go through the room on CCTV, and we give them hints over the monitors when they ask for a hint. And so it's really interesting to watch these groups go through these rooms, and you get a real insight into personality, into group psychology, and it's really fun to kind of watch them go through it.
Now, we had an email question for you, JW. Are there penalties or repercussions for failure like there are in the zombie room?
Well, everyone is trying to make it out as a team. You only have 60 minutes. And that's something that has to be stated up front, is that, you know, if you don't get out in 60 minutes, you don't get out. Now, everybody does get a parting gift, whether you get out or you don't get out. But no, there's no zombies in our room biting you.
And JW, you think you designed your own rooms, is that right? Or
yeah, I designed corporate espionage, and I co-designed the Sherlock Holmes room.
And Jerry, in your case, this came from your design came from a corporation, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So beyond that, who's designing these? I mean, we know a company designed yours. What type of person designs an escape room? What kind of a
I mean, anybody who has just a really creative bent towards
a crazy sense
to,
of humor, and,
right?
And okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, a good escape room for me, I've thought about this a lot, and I'm really interested in the theory behind escape rooms. For me, a good escape room has a good story, because the players that go into the escape room are the heroes of this story, and they're out to prove themselves in a heroic tale. And for me, the puzzles must be, like we were talking about this beforehand out in the lobby, you know, when you walk into an escape room, we try to stay away from trivia. Any person who walks off the street should be able to go into an escape room with common knowledge, and just by looking around the room and discovering what's in the room, they should be able to solve all the puzzles, find all the secret passageways. And so I think it's important that it's very challenging, but at the same point, you don't need any kind of level of expertise to be able to solve these rooms.
Yeah, are there different levels of difficulty, or are there progressions you can make with the rooms, or are they all pretty much basically the same?
Well, I think, you know, the trick to designing the room is something that is possible to do in the allotted time. And it takes a fair amount of effort to try and figure out, you know, because I would say there's probably about 30 plus clues in our room that need to be solved. And so you got to make sure that they're difficult enough that you can't solve it quickly, but not so difficult that nobody can do it. You know, and the time is very, very important. And by the way, trapped in a room with a zombie was featured in Big Bang Theory. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I didn't.
Yeah, and supposedly they solved it in 5 minutes.
Right, because they're geniuses. They beat the odds.
You're not going to solve that room in 5 minutes.
No. That's another thing.
Our record is same as JW's. It's around 40 minutes, and that's pretty incredible for somebody to get that room figured out in 40 minutes.
But that's part of the appeal, though, that it's tough to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be fun. If you could just come in and ace it in a few minutes, and why even bother, right?
Sure.
Now, we also had an email. This is from Margie. Margie, could these rooms be detrimental to team building? In other words, if you get people in there who are really, really competitive versus your people who are in there who are laid back and they're just fun seekers.
Yeah, I was just thinking from, you know, the social psychological point of view when designing these rooms, how important it's going to be to make sure that everybody has a chance to participate, because it could be an opportunity for, say you've got an alpha person who already is very controlling at the office, or, you know, the person that everybody is kind of afraid of in the office, and you bring everybody together into this room, those issues could be, you know, magnified and then have some pretty deep consequences if people's feelings really do end up getting hurt. And it could be just an opportunity to kind of replicate roles that are already in the office rather than trying to reformat them. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for potential shaming. You know, if coworkers don't have the best kind of relationship and there's any bullying in the office, that could also be replicated in an escape room. And when you've got high levels of stress, it could be, you know, all the worse. So I think that, you know, it definitely is up to the person who's organizing the group to make sure that everybody is kind of in a healthy, you know, headspace before they go in, with rules about, you know, not shaming or not making fun of someone if they don't know how to do something, but encouraging each other. And then from the design perspective, having different kinds of opportunities for people who are maybe really good at logic puzzles, or people who are really good with, you know, spatial kinds of arrangements, or with kind of finding clues, but making sure that it's balanced so there doesn't become that very strict kind of hierarchy that could lead to, you know, consequences.
Well, that's the person where you just tell them this is just a game, chill out.
Right? Yeah, and there's that too, yeah.
Jerry?
Well, you know, and to follow along with that, besides the zombie in our room, we also have a moderator who is a live person in the room with you, Professor von Gutenberg. And the role of the professor is to assist you in helping to solve the puzzles, but also at the end of the adventure, one of the things they do is they actually go through and present a synopsis of everybody's performance during the escape procedure. So they say, yeah, this person was the alpha and they dominated everything. And these people were good at collaborating. And this person was really good at the spatial puzzles. And so it actually brings all that out, and they share it with everybody in sort of a fun way. So we think that helps to, you know, maybe ameliorate some of those issues maybe that was brought up.
Yeah, I think a lot of it
could be a great opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one thing it comes down to is the design of the room. I think if the room is designed in an interesting and correct way, people are working together, but then they're splitting up into groups, and then they're coming back together, then they're splitting up the groups, they're coming back together, so that it's impossible for one person to dominate the room. And at the Cincinnati Escape Room, we have a maximum of 7 people in a room at a time. And so with a smaller group, it makes it a little easier for everybody to get their hands on something.
So real quickly, just a few seconds left in this segment. Any plans to expand and add more rooms at this point?
Yeah, we're going to keep going with 2 rooms for the next few months, see how it goes. And if things go well, then we have plans for a 3rd room.
Jerry, what about you?
I think we're sort of tapped out on room right now. We've got everything else in our place, the go-karts and laser tag.
It's filled up.
Yeah, it's filled up the rest of the place. So,
but definitely the zombie is definitely worth trying, it sounds like.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Margie, JW, and Jerry. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you inviting me.
Dr. Margie Kerr, a sociologist at the University of Pittsburgh and Chatham University who studies the science of fear, J.W. Walterman, owner of Cincinnati Escape Room, and Jerry Weber, owner of the Web Extreme Entertainment, which features a trapped-in-the-room-with-a-zombie adventure. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds and Jim Nolan. The technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now on 91.7 WVXU.